Welcome to your daily AI in-depth report for the 17th of July 2026. I'm Alex, and as always I'm joined by Ingo. This week's briefing has a really clear through line, and I think it's worth stating up front, AI has moved decisively from capability demonstration to contested deployment. Ingo, that framing feels significant to me.
It is, Alex, and I'd add that contested is doing a lot of work in that sentence. Contested between labs, between nations, between platform partners now suing each other, and increasingly contested between capital and labor. So this isn't a quiet consolidation week, it's a week where a lot of tension surfaced at once. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the frontier race, because the headline structural signal this week is that frontier capability is now genuinely multipolar. The standout item is Moonshot's Kimi K3 closing the frontier gap. Chinese labs compressing the distance to leading US models isn't new, but each iteration that credibly closes the gap changes the calculus for buyers.
And that's where it gets interesting for me, because closing the gap is often treated as a benchmark story, but the real consequence is economic and geopolitical. A credible non-US frontier option changes pricing leverage overnight. For a CIO, it affects open weight availability and, this is the big one, data residency and sovereignty planning. If you're a European or Middle Eastern buyer, suddenly you have a frontier option that isn't hostage to US export politics.
Exactly, and for the US labs, it compresses the window in which raw capability alone justifies premium pricing. Which is why the domestic release cadence is so relentless. 6. But notice the framing, it's shipped into a work-oriented product. The naming, to work, is itself the strategy. The model is a delivery vehicle for a productivity suite, not a standalone artifact.
That's a subtle but important shift, Alex. It tells you OpenAI has stopped competing on benchmark theater and started competing on workflow lock-in. That's a maturing market move. You compete on integration when raw capability is no longer differentiating.
And we see the same pattern with the strongest Grok yet, released alongside Cursor. The story there isn't the leaderboard rank. It's the distribution channel. Embedding inside a developer environment matters more, because the battle for developer default is a battle for the highest value, stickiest AI usage there is.
Developers are the wedge. Win the developer, and you win the tools they build, and eventually the enterprises those tools serve. Meanwhile, Meta climbing the image generation leaderboard just confirms image gen is now table stakes. Differentiation has moved to integration and cost, not raw quality.
Which brings us to what I think is the single most actionable takeaway of the frontier section: betting on a single model provider is increasingly untenable. The rational architecture is model agnostic, routing, orchestration, abstraction layers that let you swap the underlying model as price and performance shift, sometimes weekly. And the briefing notes orchestrator setups reducing token spend by 60%.
That 60% number is the punchline, economically. The advantage is moving from which model you pick to how you route and compress work across models. That's a profound reframing for executives, because it means your competitive edge isn't in a procurement decision, it's in an engineering capability. And that's much harder to buy off the shelf.
Let's move to the agent layer, because if 2024 and 2025 were the years of agent demos, this week's signal is that agentic automation is being productized into genuine enterprise platforms. The clearest signal is UiPath's next-generation platform for what they're calling agentic automation.
And UiPath matters precisely because of who they are. They're the RPA incumbent, the robotic process automation company whose deterministic, brittle bots were supposed to be replaced by exactly this LLM-driven approach. So them repositioning around agents is either a successful pivot or an existential defense. Either way, it validates that the whole enterprise automation category is being rebuilt on LLM foundations.
And it's not just the challenges. Dropbox is deepening AI into team workflows with Dash, and Microsoft launched Copilot Vision. These are incumbents embedding AI at the point of existing work, rather than asking users to go visit a chatbot. Copilot Vision is particularly meaningful. Giving the assistant the ability to see and act on screen context is a real step toward the computer use paradigm.
Unpack that for our non-specialist listeners, Alex. What exactly is computer use?
Great question. Traditionally, to automate a piece of software you need an API, a clean, structured interface the software exposes deliberately. Computer use skips that. The agent literally sees the screen, moves the cursor, clicks buttons and types, like a human would. And this week Google's Gemini computer use for browser control reinforced it. When Google, Microsoft and Anthropic all converge on agents that operate the browser and screen directly, the clean API abstraction of the last decade suddenly matters much less.
And that's enormously powerful and enormously risky, which the briefing states plainly. For builders, it collapses the integration barrier. You no longer need a partner API to automate a 40-year-old legacy system. But for security and risk leaders, an agent with screen and browser control is functionally an employee with unaudited access. That phrase should stop every board in its tracks.
And the briefing's prediction is that governance friction becomes the binding constraint on deployment velocity. In other words, the technology won't be the bottleneck, the audit and control substrate will be.
Which is a healthy inversion, honestly. That's a sign of a maturing industry, even if it slows things down.
Let's talk hardware, because two signals stand out. First, OpenEye's $230 AI Agent Control Pad, a dedicated physical control surface for orchestrating agents. It suggests OpenAI believes agents become persistent background processes that need native command and control, not transient chat sessions.
That's a philosophical bet as much as a product. If agents are always running in the background, doing work on your behalf, then a chat window is the wrong metaphor. You want a cockpit, but the more strategically significant hardware story is Meta's AI glasses master plan, Zuckerberg talking neural control, superintelligence, and AI coaching.
Meta's wager is that the winning form factor for ambient AI is worn on the face, controlled by neural signal, and always present. And if they're right, it reshapes the whole distribution game. The company that owns the ambient interface owns the default assistant.
And this is where I get economically nervous, Alex, in a productive way. Software models commoditize, we've just spent 10 minutes establishing that. But a worn, always-on interface with neural input does not commoditize. That's a distribution moat on the scale of mobile. Executives in consumer, retail and media should be tracking Meta's glasses roadmap as a potential platform shift, not a gadget.
Now to governance, which this week moved from principle to instrument. Anthropic released a cluster of named policy artifacts, a responsible scaling policy, a responsible disclosure policy, and a policy on the AI exponential. The responsible scaling policy is the notable one. It ties specific capability thresholds to safety commitments.
And that functions as a private sector analog to regulation, which is fascinating and slightly uncomfortable. In the absence of binding law, the labs are writing their own. For enterprise buyers, these documents are increasingly real procurement inputs. They define the vendor's risk posture, disclosure obligations, and the conditions under which capability might actually be withheld.
And the counterweight to voluntary governance is enforced accountability. Demi Hassabis, a Nobel laureate running a frontier lab, is putting a clock on AI oversight, publicly acknowledging a narrowing window.
That's a significant moment, when even the most capability-optimistic lab leaders start timestamping the oversight problem. Boardrooms should recalibrate their risk assumptions. It's not the safety campaigners saying this anymore, it's the people building the systems. And then there's the commercial confirmation, Cisco launching AI defense.
Right. A major network security incumbent launching a dedicated AI security product confirms that securing AI is now a distinct market category. Securing the models, the agents, the data flows. Combined with the enterprise playbook emphasizing security, trust and governance baked in, governance is shifting from afterthought to design requirement.
And the practical takeaway is sharp. Governance is becoming a purchasing criterion, not a compliance chore. Vendors who can demonstrate defensible scaling policies, disclosure discipline and integrated security will win the regulated industry deals. And Cisco's move tells builders that the audit substrate is becoming commercially available rather than something you have to build yourself.
Now the relationship story of the week, Apple taking OpenAI to court. The details in the source are thin, but the strategic subtext is loud. The alliance between the world's most valuable device maker and the leading AI lab is under strain.
And you don't litigate against a partner you're this deeply entangled with unless something structural is shifting. Apple integrates OpenEye's models into the device experience. Litigation signals contested control over the AI layer on the world's most important consumer platform. My reading, and it's speculative, is that Apple may be preparing to reduce dependence, favoring in-house models or alternative partners.
which means for anyone building on Apple's ecosystem, the risk of a platform-level AI reconfiguration just rose. Contingency planning for multi-provider fallback should now extend right down to the mobile OS layer.
And it reinforces the very first theme, model plurality. Even the flagship partnerships are destabilizing. Single provider dependence is now a genuine strategic liability, not a theoretical one.
Let's turn to the labor question, which this week got quantified. Economists and researchers are putting AI's job shock, as they phrase it, on the clock, attaching timelines and magnitudes to displacement rather than just speculating.
This is my home turf, Alex, and it's an important shift. We're moving from the speculative to the empirical. And that changes the executive conversation from a philosophical debate to a workforce planning problem. The briefing's warning is well judged. Leaders who treat AI-driven role change as a discrete HR event rather than a multi-year planning challenge will face both execution failures and stakeholder backlash.
And the prudent posture is scenario planning now, while the quantitative literature is still forming.
There's a temptation to wait for the data to be conclusive. But by the time it's conclusive, the transition is already happening to you rather than being managed by you. The reputational and operational risk of getting this wrong is rising faster than the certainty of the evidence.
Our last structural signal is Microsoft's hybrid AI bet, spanning Copilot plus PCs, NPUs, and agentic AI. Microsoft is betting that inference splits between cloud and on-device silicon, with those neural processing units handling latency-sensitive and privacy-sensitive workloads locally.
And paired with Anthropic's work on Claude's internal architecture, the direction of travel is toward models that are more capable, more locally resident, and more introspectable. Why does that matter economically? Because on-device inference reshapes both cost and data governance economics.
Exactly. Local inference reduces per-query cloud cost and keeps sensitive data on the device. That's genuinely attractive for regulated industries and privacy-sensitive markets. And it means hardware refresh cycles now carry AI capability implications. Device procurement and AI strategy are converging.
Which is a quietly enormous change for corporate IT. The laptop you buy is now an AI capability decision. 5 years ago, no one framed a PC refresh that way.
So let's pull it together with the strategic takeaways for executives. First, architect for model plurality. With credible frontier options across US and Chinese labs, and litigation destabilizing even flagship partnerships, invest in routing and abstraction.
Second, treat agents as privileged actors. Computer use and browser control agents automate against everything, including systems without APIs. Governance and security, not capability, will be the binding constraint, so build the audit substrate now.
Third, watch the interface layer. Meta's glasses and OpenEye's control pad are bets that the next distribution mode is physical and ambient. Consumer-facing businesses should track this as a potential platform shift.
Fourth, governance is a purchasing criterion. Vendors' scaling and disclosure policies now belong in procurement due diligence, especially for regulated deployments. And fifth, plan the workforce transition deliberately before the data is conclusive.
And the through line, Ingo, one more time. AI has moved from capability demonstration to contested deployment, where the winners will be decided by distribution, governance, and architecture as much as by raw model performance.
Which is, I think, genuinely good news for thoughtful organizations. Because when the game shifts from who has the best model to who deploys most wisely, strategy matters again. And that's a game you can actually plan for.
A perfect note to end on. That's your daily AI in-depth report for the 17th of July 2026. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks everyone. Go root your models wisely.